As Craig read there from Esther 6 this morning, that is the words that we are going to open up this morning. And many people in our lifetime get honored. And I don't know if you remember this man here, Sir Tom, who was honored for the things that he did in his life. And many of us know the many miles that Sir Tom, the late Sir Tom, I should say, walked and raised money for the NHS. And we see him there getting honored by the Queen. But I don't know whether you remember a program called This Is Your Life. Maybe I'm showing my age here. But it was where a man called Eamon Andrews, and maybe more lately Michael Aspel, went around different celebrities, surprising them with a story about their life and giving honour for the things they had achieved in life. You know, being honoured for the things we have done is often a very joyous and moving occasion. And as we look at this chapter today, we will see this man, Mordecai, being honoured for the things that he has done. But in Esther 6, we see the providence of God revealed once more. The protective care of God, or of nature as a spiritual power, we can often find this providence of God to be a real source of comfort. But let's look at verses 1 to 3. First of all, here is the wisdom of providence. Now understand this. The stakes are high as chapter 6 opens up. Esther knows only that Haman has secured the king's authorization for the killing of the Jews, probably over the next year. She knows nothing of Haman's new resolution to execute Mordecai that very morning. In chapters 4 and 5, we have watched Esther wrestle with her own responsibility and calling before God. She was called upon, remember, to take action and to risk everything on behalf of her people. And it was a challenge and a reminder to us all that to follow the Lord, to follow Jesus Christ, entails for all of us the costliness of faithfulness to his claims in the midst of an increasing hostile world. But that was chapters 4 and 5. But now that chapter 6 opens, the focus rests not on the responsibility of the child of God. Esther is oblivious to what is taking place. She has done her bit. But now the focus rests on the wise providence of the sovereign God. Esther does not even know the fuse that has been lit and is moving rapidly towards Mordecai's destruction. It is out of her hands. She can do absolutely nothing. But look at the text. Just as the prideful Haman probably has been up all night long building a gallows for Mordecai, so too, it seems, has the king, who does what we've all done. When we can't sleep, we read. Or in the king's case, he gets someone to read to him. But let's just pause for a moment. And when we get those nights where sleep does not seem to work, do we ever think God is trying to say something to us? Is he trying to intervene? And what better time than when we go to bed where there is no other distractions? Remember Samuel being called as he slept, and he went to Eli 3 times before he realized God was wanting to talk to him. The king here calls for the book of Chronicles, a book which I have no doubt would be a real riveting bedtime read. One imagines the king with drooping eyelids and nodding head, just about to fall asleep, as the civil servants are droning on in the background, when suddenly there's a jolt of electricity that suddenly pushes him into alertness. All thought of sleep is now gone. because the chronicle has come to that place where Mordecai has saved the king's life from the murder plot of Bithynia and Teresa. In verse 3, the king asks what honor or distinction has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this. Something has begun to wake up in the king's mind. You see, the Persian emperors were renowned for their swift and extravagant generosity upon all who have done them service. But do you see God's timing in all of this? How the king had now seen the need to honor Mordecai. And as he looks for someone to do this, who walks in the door but prideful Haman? And remember those words from Matthew 20. Those that are first will be last, and those that are last will be first. And Proverbs 16:9. In the heart, the man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Now, I'm sure we cannot sit here this morning and say that we do not worry about life. What is going to happen next? We can have worries about our families, health, jobs, financial security, and many other things in the world that we live in. We like to see things in black and white. I don't know. I don't like it when life is out of control. But that is most likely when we will see God working in a mighty and powerful way. For example, the job that I'm in now, I had applied for about 8 months before I got the job. And at that time, I wasn't selected. But 7 or 8 months down the line, I got an email asking me, would I be still interested in the job? And the rest is history. And when I look back on that, did I think God was in the middle of it? Of course he was. And I do now feel blessed by how he continues to work in my life. But the word of the Lord in Esther 6 calls us to direct our confidence to a far more reliable object than ourselves. It invites us with the psalmist to lift our eyes to the hills and to remember where our help comes from. Our safety comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And it aims to help us rejoin the psalmist in singing with renewed confidence in the only solid foundation for faith. The prideful Haman bounces into the king's presence. Look at verses 8 and 9. Haman wants the king's robes. He doesn't want much. The king's own robes, the king's own horse, and a parade through the city streets, proclaiming what a stand-up guy Haman really is. Some commentators suggest that Haman was in fact asking to be proclaimed as the king's equal, or at least his heir. So here is a window into this prideful guy Haman's heart. We get to see the nature of the man as clearly as ever we have. He has made an idol of himself, and his pride, ego, as it always will, has made a fool of him. All the while, Haman is telling the king what he wants for himself. What the king is hearing, he only hears awfully good advice on how best to honor the one man that Haman wants to destroy. But be warned by Haman's follow and hear with new ears the call of Psalm 2. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. It is not in finding a way to be exalted above others that we find peace and blessing. We live in a culture that tells us we ought to be first and do whatever it takes to get ahead and be first. But it is not as it turns out in finding a way to be exalted above others that we find peace and blessing, but only in bowing before the exalted Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and fleeing and taking refuge in Him alone. Throughout the Bible, we see God's providence work from Genesis to Revelation, and we see many of God's people honored. Look at Moses, honored with leading God's people towards the promised land. King David, honored with leading and protecting God's people. And of course, there's Jesus, God's own Son, honored with saving God's people from the sin of this world, and was honored by his people before he eventually went to the cross for us all. To be honored is a truly humbling thing. Notice what Mordecai did after he was honored. He went back to the king's gate. What did Jesus do after he was honored? He went to the cross. And if we look further into the Bible, in Revelation 19, we see these verses. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider was faithful and true. With justice, he judges the wages of war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has written name on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine white linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. And he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, if we're not Christians this morning, actually, Esther 6 is a chilling warning. And if we are Christians, it is a glorious promise of hope. It tells us whatever we think and however we may perceive that God, in these verses, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises as accounts slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that you should all reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and when the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. You know, an echo of that final day reached Haman in the words of Suresa, his wife. You cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin. You know, God will, and he does keep his covenant with his people, however long it might take. If you're not a Christian, be warned, repent and believe the gospel, lest a sudden reversal will come upon you like a thief in the night, and you, like the prideful Haman, will feel the sting of divine vengeance. But if you are a Christian, endure, press on, persevere, learn from Mordecai what the man whom the Lord delights to honor looks like. And like him, do not grow weary in well-doing, knowing that we shall reap a harvest in due time if we do not give up. But let me take you back to where I started. The man stands with the big red book with your name on it. Will you be honored when the book is opened for the things you've done in this life? Just like Mordecai, a humble man of God, you know, gratitude lifts our eyes of the things that we don't have to the blessings that we do have. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, the providence of God is real, working in our lives. We just need to realize what it is, where it is, and how God is honoring us with his promises in this life that we lead here on earth. You know, Haman was full of pride, but was going for a fall. Mordecai was humble, and he was lifted up. Always remember those words in that song, Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise. And I hope that we'll remember those words as we go about our daily lives. May God bless this challenge to us all in these words today. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. Father, we know all too often that we can get carried away with these worldly things that go on around us. But Father, we know that just to shine your light wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, Father God, we'll be honoring you in a mighty and powerful way. And Father, we pray that you'll take each of us this morning, Father God, move us and guide us by your words from Esther 6, Father God, to put away our pride. And Father God, just to be humble and honest in everything that we do as you lead us in our daily lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name.